Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking. Oh, Norma. I'm glad you called. Well, you'll have to include me out tonight, Angel. I'm all jammed up. Mm-hmm. There's a party around who's been shown how to parlay a two-bit pocket knife into a killing. So naturally, he's going to make a stab at it.
This is Ed Herlihy, friends, inviting you on behalf of the Kraft Foods Company to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now, join him on the air when the Falcon solves the case of the curious cop. In just a moment, another thrilling adventure of the Falcon. But first, a word about an adventure you can have any day in the week, right in your own kitchen. For several weeks now, we've been telling you on this program about Kraft Salad Oil, the wonderful new salad oil created by Kraft that's lighter-bodied because it's super fine. Now, here's a suggestion. Tomorrow, go to your grocer's and get a pint or quart bottle of Kraft Salad Oil. Look up your favorite recipe for homemade salad dressing, chiffon cake, or anything else that requires liquid shortening. Then, that night, tomorrow night at dinner, surprise your family with an old favorite made this lighter-bodied, superfine salad oil way. You'll know the difference, and so will the family. Get Kraft Salad Oil. And now, the case of the curious cop. It's late Sunday evening in New York, and Hunter's famed gambling club on East 84th is closed for the night. But that doesn't seem to deter plainclothesman Jack Craven or his partner Frank Walsh from their decision to look in on Mr. Hunter.
You ask me, Craven, we're wasting our time.
You think so, Frank?
Sure. Hunter's probably gone.
What about that light we saw from the outside?
I must have forgotten to turn it off.
No, not Mr. Hunter. He watches his pennies. Five will get you ten. He's still here counting the take. Where was the light coming from?
This room here, I think. Yeah.
Then this must be the office.
Want me to go in with you?
No. You wait out here. If you hear any commotion, get back to the car. Understand?
Right.
Come on in, Brock. Did you get the... Just a second. You're not Brock.
No, my name is Craven, Mr. Hunter.
What are you doing here?
Ever see one of these before?
It's a badge, isn't it?
Also known as a buzzer or a potsy.
So?
So I don't like people running gambling houses on my beat.
I see.
Especially without consulting me.
And suppose I did consult you?
Well, that might be different. Now, if you were to consult me, say, once a week with $500...
You'd have no objections at all?
No. Live and let live is my motto.
$500 is a lot of money, Mr. Craven.
Well, I can be a lot of trouble, Mr. Hunter.
Suppose I had you reported to the commissioner.
You'd be wasting your time. They've been trying to get rid of me for years, but they never could get anybody to testify against me.
Maybe I'd be willing to.
Are you kidding? You don't like publicity any more in your racket than I do in mine. You better give in, Hunter. I can make an awful nuisance of myself.
I can see that. All right, Craven, don't move.
Now, what do you think you're going to do with that gun?
Something the police commissioner couldn't do. I'm going to get rid of you, Craven.
Now, listen, Hunter, if you don't put away that rod, I'll break you in two.
Hey, where you are, Craven. I mean that.
Now, you super...
Give me another bottle, Hazel. This one's gone.
But Frank,
oh, for Pete's sake, can a man get anything in his own home without a million arguments? Now get it.
All right.
Wait a minute. Answer that first. If it's Sergeant Corbett, tell him I'm still sick and the doctor says I can't see anybody.
Hello?
Mrs. Walsh?
That's right.
This is Sergeant Corbett again.
Oh, how are you, Sergeant?
Can't complain. How's Frank?
Just the same.
Can I talk to him?
I'm afraid not. He's asleep.
Okay. Tell him I called, will you?
I certainly will, Sergeant.
Well?
I think he's suspicious.
What? He can't prove anything.
What's all this about, Frank?
What's what all about?
Why are you avoiding Corbett? Ever since the night Craven disappeared...
I told you I didn't want to talk about that.
But you were with him.
I was not. Craven got out of a car to see somebody. He left me on Lexington and 84th. I never saw him after that.
Then why did they suspend you from the force?
Because they're a bunch of thick-headed jerks.
Frank, you're not telling the truth.
What are you calling me, a liar? All right, Hazel, so you want to know what happened to Craven, do you? Well, I'll tell you. He was murdered.
No.
Yes, now do you feel better?
Who did it?
I have no idea.
Then how do you know he was murdered?
I'm psychic.
Frank, you've got to tell Sergeant Corbett.
You're nuts.
If you don't, they'll drop you from the force.
Who cares?
I do. What'll we live on?
Don't you worry about that, Hazel. From now on, it's Easy Street.
Then you do know who killed Craven.
Yeah, that's right. Now, if at this party, you'll appreciate me keeping my mouth shut.
We're not thinking of blackmail.
No? Huh? What am I thinking of, baby? Where's my coat?
No, I won't let you go.
Get your hands off me, Hazel.
No, Frank.
I said get your hands off.
Stop it, Frank. You're choking me. Frank.
Yes. I hate to break in on you like this, Mr. Hunter, but there's a party outside waiting to see you.
I'm busy, Brock.
Yes, I know, but I suggest you clear a little time for this boy. I would if I were in your position.
But then you're not in my position, Brock.
Oh, that's true. Just the same, you ought to see him. His name is Frank Walsh. He's a cop.
So?
So he was Jack Craven's sidekick.
Craven?
The dick who disappeared so mysteriously.
Oh, of course.
Will you see him?
What have I got to lose?
Hey, Walsh.
Yeah.
Come in here.
Sit down, Mr. Walsh. My name is Hunter.
Never mind the introduction, Hunter. I know all about you.
Not all, I trust.
All. When can I talk to you?
What do you call what you're doing now?
I mean, alone.
Would you be a good fellow, Brown?
Why not? Nice knowing you,
Walsh. Yeah, likewise.
Now, what was it you had on your mind, Mr. Walsh?
Last Saturday after you closed, you had a visitor up here.
Did I?
Yeah, a dick named Jack Craven.
And you think I know something about his disappearance?
I think you know everything about it. You see, I was outside when Craven went in to shake you down. A few minutes afterward, I heard a shot, so I beat it to the car. But 20 minutes later, I saw you coming out of here alone.
So you put two and two together.
And got four. You killed him, Hunter. I don't know what you did with his body.
Then you might as well stop there, Mr. Walsh. Didn't you ever learn that to substantiate a charge of murder, there must be what the pulp writers call a corpus delicti?
Now, look, Hunter, you're not brushing me off like this. We can settle this easily enough. I'm no pig like some guys. Give me 20 grand, and you'll never hear from me again.
I think it would be only fair to warn you, Mr. Walsh, that I have a distinct aversion to being blackmailed.
Well, you better kick through, because if it's the last thing I do, I'll find Craven's body.
I wish you luck. And if you experience too much difficulty, perhaps I can arrange to have you join him. Good day, sir.
What's the matter, Sergeant? You look worried.
I am, Mike.
Still thinking about that Craven mess?
Yeah, a cheap, rotten grafter.
Well, if you ask me, you've heard the last of that cookie.
I wouldn't be surprised if you were right.
You think he's dead?
I don't know. Maybe he skipped. Who knows?
It's funny about Frank Walsh having a nervous breakdown so soon afterwards.
Very funny. Turn right at the next corner.
Where do you want to go?
Over to see Frank Walsh. He lives a couple of blocks down.
Didn't his wife tell you he's sick?
Well, doctor's orders or not, I'm going to have a talk with that guy. Hey, hold it, Mike. Stop the car.
What's the matter?
I thought I saw something in the gutter. Back up. I guess I was...
Hey, Sergeant.
Yeah, turn on your spotlight.
Oh, it's a drunk.
Wouldn't you know it. Okay, let's get him. Can't leave him laying there. All right, mister, what do you think you're doing? Come on your feet, Buster. Give me a hand with him, Mike.
Yeah, right. There we go.
Walsh. You're stewed to the eyeballs. I got a good mind to leave you
Wait
right
a minute,
here.
Sergeant. He isn't drunk. Look at your hand.
Holy...
Yeah, he's been shot.
Shot.
Listen, Walsh, who did it?
20 grand.
Frank.
Hazel.
We better get a doctor.
You'd be wasting your time, Sergeant. He's dead. Yes?
I'm looking for Michael Waring, the Falcon.
Well, you made it.
What?
But I bet it was pretty difficult.
What do you mean?
And you couldn't do much looking through that veil. Oh. Come on in.
Thanks.
Just make yourself...
What's the trouble?
Well, I was going to ask you to make yourself comfortable, but somehow I've got a feeling you don't quite trust me.
I don't trust you?
Why else would you carry a gun in your purse?
What are you talking about?
Well, don't tell me it's a compact, Angel. Because nothing Elizabeth Arden ever turned out was shaped like that. Is that the gun that killed Frank Walsh?
Killed Walsh?
Yeah, your husband.
You're crazy.
Aren't you Hazel Walsh?
No.
Well, lift your veil. Well?
Who told you who I was?
Well, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure that out. The police are looking for Hazel Walsh in connection with her husband's murder. So when a heavily veiled woman carrying a heater walks in on a private detective 12 hours later, the chances are she didn't come to consult him for pleasure.
I didn't kill Frank, Mr. Waring.
I was with Sergeant Corbett when we found him. He named you as his killer.
I didn't do it.
You had a motive.
If you mean his insurance policy,
No, I'm not talking about money. According to Corbett, Frank's favorite indoor sport was bouncing you around.
That's not true.
It'll be easy enough to prove.
Look, Mr. Waring, I swear I didn't kill Frank.
Well, you've got nothing to hide.
Who are you calling?
Sergeant Corbett. We're going over and have a talk with him.
Put down that phone.
Now, look, Mrs. Walsh.
Put it down.
If you want me to work for you...
No, thanks. I've just changed my mind.
Now, look, you're acting like a 6-year-old. Now, I'm going to call the police.
And I say you're going to do nothing of the kind. Oh. See what I mean? Pleasant dreams, Mr. Waring.
It's lighter bodied. It's super fine.
It's Kraft Salad Oil. The first salad oil ever offered for your home use by the makers of all those wonderful Kraft salad dressing products. When the Kraft Foods Company puts a new product on the market, you can be sure that it's not just another product of its kind, but that there's something really new and different about it. And that's exactly what you'll discover in Kraft Salad Oil. Not just a new salad oil, but a new kind of salad oil. Kraft Salad Oil is a lighter-bodied oil. Lighter-bodied to blend smoothly and perfectly with the other ingredients. And the reason Kraft Salad Oil is lighter-bodied is that it's super-fined. Yes, super-fined by a special process created by Kraft. Don't wait to try this wonderful new salad oil in those distinctive homemade salad dressings you make, those wonderful chiffon cakes you bake, in every recipe you have that requires liquid shortening. Remember,
it's lighter bodied. It's super fine.
And it's at your grocer's now. Get Kraft Salad Oil in either the pint or quart size tomorrow. Look for the bottles with the beautiful labels. Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon. 3 hours have passed since Mike was lulled to sleep by Hazel Walsh. And now, as we find Mike, he's recuperating in Ed's luncheonette under the tender ministrations of Sergeant Corbett.
Hey, how about some service here?
What'll it be, Sergeant?
A cup of Java for me and a couple of aspirin for my friend here.
What's the matter, Mike? Got a headache?
Yes. Temper.
I get my hands on that Hazel Walsh.
And you're not going to work for her?
Of course I am. I just want to teach her you don't go around slugging people who are trying to help.
You're making a mistake.
Oh, now, look, Sergeant, I tell you, she didn't kill her husband.
And why did she bop you when you were going to call me?
Well, because she was panicky.
That still doesn't explain why Frank named her as his killer.
But he didn't, really. He said something about 20 grand. Maybe he wanted to leave a message for her.
About 20 grand?
Well, why not? Suppose he was trying to tell her something.
You're crazy.
Now look, Sergeant, Walsh was a grafter.
I don't like that kind of talk.
Well, I don't blame you, but you've got to face the facts. There are always a couple of rotten apples in every barrel. How many times have you had Frank Walsh and Jack Craven on the carpet?
He just couldn't make it stick, that's all.
Go on.
Well, my guess is that Walsh tried to shake down Hunter, and Hunter let him have it.
But why would Walsh expect that kind of payoff from Hunter just to let him keep running his joint?
He wouldn't. But he might to keep a murder quiet.
What are you talking about?
Walsh must have known who murdered Jack Craven. Well, he went there last night for payoff. And he got it.
Well, assuming you're right, now all we have to do is find the one party in New York he tried it on.
Well, that shouldn't be so hard, Corbett. That was Walsh's and Craven's beat.
The east side from 76th to 85th.
9 blocks. All right, who's operating a new joint in that district?
What makes you think this is a new operator?
Human nature. Once a man allows himself to be shaken down, the odds are he'll go on that way without squawking. So my guess would be that Craven got his when he tried his graft on a new customer.
You know, Mike, sometimes I think you've got the makings of a pretty good detective.
Well, thank you. And when did Craven disappear?
4 days ago.
Okay, then we can narrow it down even finer. Craven would probably give this boy a chance to operate a week or two, so he'd have some idea what to charge. Now, who do you know that opened a joint around the middle of March?
Well, I heard rumors that a guy named Hunter opened a club around the 14th. But every time a raiding party gets near the place, they fold up their tables and run.
Okay, let's see if we can run faster.
Come on, Mike. Get away from that wheel.
Ever tell you about my assistant, Sergeant?
Some other time. See any sign of Hunter around?
No. What time have you got?
10:45.
I suppose we try his office.
Where is it?
I think you go through this door. Yeah. That room down the hall.
Want me to flash my badge?
No, let's keep this unofficial for the moment. You can close up the joint tomorrow. We've got a murder to worry about.
Come in.
Hello, Brock.
Well, well, the Falcon, isn't it?
Are we interrupting anything?
Nothing that can't wait. Who's your friend, Mike?
Well, sorry, Mr. Brock, Mr. Corbett.
Hi.
Glad to know you.
Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
We'd like to see Hunter. And...
What for?
Well, I just want to congratulate him on the establishment he's got here.
Well, I'll tell him when I see him.
Could you arrange for us to do that?
I'm afraid not. Hunter's out of town.
Any idea where?
No, I think he said he might take a little run down to Mexico.
When was this?
About a week ago.
Funny, I would have sworn I saw him on the street Friday night.
Well, you're imagining things.
It must be. Of course, if he's been gone a week, he wouldn't know anything about Walsh and Craven, huh?
Walsh and Craven?
Those two cops who ran into bad luck.
Oh, seems to me I read something about that.
Of course, that's all you'd know about it, huh?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Brock. I'll be seeing you.
Yes, do that.
Coming, Corbett?
Huh? Oh, sure, sure.
So long, Brock.
Boy, you really handle that brilliantly.
Shut up.
Listen, Mike.
Shut up and cover me in case anyone comes.
You know, it's not polite to peek at keyholes.
I know, but it can be awfully informative.
What's he doing?
Making a phone call.
Who's he calling?
Well, if you keep quiet, I'll find out.
Hello, is that you, Mr. Hunter? This is Brock. No, business is all right, but some of the customers could be better. You know who was just asking for you? Waring. Yes, that's right. Mike Waring, the Falcon, and there was a cop with him. Well, of course I'm not making a mistake. You asked me. Arthur. Wait a minute. Someone just walked in.
Oh, it's all right, Brock. It's only us. Told you we'd be back. Oh, now you went and hung up on Mr. Hunter. That's not nice, Brock. He's going to be awfully hurt.
What do you want, Waring?
Well, I think you owe Mr. Hunter an apology. And what would be nicer than if we all went over together while you paid it? All right, Brock. What floor does Hunter live on?
4. But you won't find him there.
That's right, Mike. We forgot. Hunter's down in Mexico.
Okay, be smart. But I tell you, I wasn't speaking to him.
Cut it out, Brock. We heard you as plain as could be.
You're wrong. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine.
Yes, whose name, by an odd coincidence, was Mr. Hunter. Okay, where do we go now?
It's apartment 4C.
Hold on, that should be it. Sure enough. Walter Hunter. All right, Sergeant, where are your keys?
Suppose he's inside?
No, not a chance. Must have skipped after Brock here warned him. But I don't think he could get too far in those 10 minutes.
He got far enough, Mike.
Hey, what's the matter with him?
Well, if you don't know Brock, take a good look at his face. That bullet hole ought to be a dead giveaway.
Holy smoke. All right, Mike, out of the way.
What's the matter?
I want to see where Hunter was standing when he got it. Judging by the course of the bullet, he... Well, what do you know?
Hey, there's a gun under that chair.
Where?
The one you're sitting on, Brock.
What?
Leave it alone. There may be prints.
Okay.
Isn't that a police special?
Yeah, and I'll take even money that it's Frank Walsh's service revolver. His wife was awfully careless, Mike.
Oh, now, don't tell me you think...
Well, what do you think?
I don't know, but at least I'm not going around making wild guesses. How do you know it wasn't suicide?
Are you kidding?
Well, it could be.
Don't talk like a chump. We had nothing on Hunter. Why should he blow his brains out?
Well, why should Hazel Walsh do it for him?
Maybe she figured that he knocked off her husband.
Oh, then you admit she wasn't guilty of that.
I admit nothing.
Excuse me, gentlemen, but can I get a word in?
What do you want, Brock?
There's a hunk of paper under Hunter's leg.
Oh, never mind, Mike. I'll take care of that.
Well, what is it?
Give me a chance, will you? To whom it may concern, I killed Jack Craven and Frank Walsh.
Huh?
I should like my remains to be cremated. Walter Hunter.
What do you say now, Sergeant?
I say, don't shh me.
There's someone at the door.
Turn off the lights. There we are, Brock. Okay, pal, what do you want?
Let go.
Behave.
Let go.
I said behave. Turn on the lights, Mike.
Fine. Crummy-looking bum.
Hey.
You know him?
Yeah, and I wish I didn't. This is Detective Jack Craven.
Jack Craven?
Yeah, my long-lost buddy.
Tomorrow when you shop, don't forget about that wonderful new Kraft salad oil that's waiting for you at your grocer's right now. It's Kraft salad oil. The salad oil that's lighter bodied to blend perfectly with other ingredients. Lighter bodied because it's super fine. Try this wonderful new aid to kitchen artistry in your homemade salad dressings, your cooking, your baking. Remember, it's lighter bodied because it's super fine. Get Kraft salad oil. Look for the bottle with the beautiful label. Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon. Just 5 minutes have passed since Jack Craven made his dramatic entrance. And strangely enough, Sergeant Corbett doesn't seem any too pleased by his reappearance.
Come on, Craven, start spilling. I want to hear you make like Niagara.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sergeant.
Why, you cheap little...
Watch it, Corbett.
You keep out of this, Mike. This is strictly departmental. How do you think all the other boys on the force feel? We work like dogs to make the public trust us. And along comes a rotten grafter like Craven and gives every honest cop a black eye.
All right, but there are strangers present.
Oh, don't mind me, folks. I'm broad-minded.
You'll keep your mouth shut, Brock, if you know what's good for you.
I'll be as quiet as a mouse.
All right, Craven, I asked you a question.
Let go.
Answer me. Why did you kill Hunter?
I didn't.
Oh, then why did you come back to his apartment?
I didn't come back. That was the first time I was
there. Don't give me that.
Can I put my 2 cents in, Sergeant?
Go ahead.
You've been gone for almost a week, Craven. Where have you been?
Los Angeles.
Why'd you go there?
None of your business.
Listen, Craven, you answer Waring's questions just as if I was asking them. Why did you go there?
I wanted to see my relatives.
And you certainly didn't travel in the Super Chief. From the look of it, I'd say you did most of your riding in a cattle car. What's the matter? Couldn't Hunter afford any better transportation?
Hunter had nothing to do with it.
Your pal Frank Walsh doesn't support your story.
Walsh? Did he stool on me?
What do you think? You had a fight with Hunter, didn't you?
Yeah, he plugged me.
Over what?
That doesn't matter. He dumped me in a cattle car. When I came to, I was in L.A.
Why didn't you wire us?
I had no dough.
You could have done it collect.
I didn't want to involve the department.
Well, that's understandable. Especially if you wanted to come back to kill Hunter.
I tell you, I didn't kill him. I just got into town tonight.
That doesn't prove a thing. Where were you at 10:15?
Why?
Because according to the coroner's report I just got, that's when Hunter was killed.
Now listen, Sergeant.
Don't start that suicide routine again, Mike. If Hunter wrote that note, he would have known darn well he hadn't killed Craven here. Where were you at 10:15, Craven?
Being chased all over the freight yards by some railroad dicks.
What?
If you don't believe me, you can call the yards and check.
And don't think I won't.
Just a minute, Sergeant. Does this mean you're writing off Hazel Walsh as a suspect?
No.
Well, then I'd like you to double the force looking for her.
Let me understand you, Mike. You think Craven here is telling the truth?
I do.
Then Mrs. Walsh is our party.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I ask you, Brock, ain't it enough to drive a guy bats?
Oh, don't ask him, Sergeant. If this thing is driving you crazy, who do you think is responsible?
Just what is that supposed to mean, Waring?
Just what it sounded like, Brock. You killed Walsh and Hunter.
I don't know how I can ever repay you, Mike.
Oh, forget it, Hazel. I'm only glad it ended the way it did.
So it was Brock who killed my husband.
Yeah, but he didn't mean to frame you. He thought it would take care of Hunter. But when Frank blurted your name to Sergeant Corbett and myself, that upset his plans.
But why did Brock want to frame his boss?
Well, Hunter had a very nice thing in the club. And Brock figured he was capable enough to handle it with Hunter out of the way.
I still don't see why he murdered Frank. According to that note, Brock thought that Hunter had killed Craven.
Yes, but that didn't do him any good because there was no trace of Craven's body. And a corpus delicti is essential in any frame. That is why it was necessary for him to supply a body that would lead directly to Hunter.
But Frank never even mentioned the man's name to me.
Well, Brock had no way of knowing that. Then when it looked like all his plans were going for naught, he wrote that suicide note and killed Hunter, thinking that would tie up all the loose ends.
Well, where did Brock give himself away?
When Sergeant Corbett and I were at the club. Before we went into the office to see Brock, I asked Corbett the time. He said it was 10:45. A few minutes after that, we eavesdropped on Brock talking to Hunter on the phone.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it was a conversation that never could have taken place. According to the autopsy report, Hunter was killed at 10:15, a half hour earlier.
And that business on the phone
was staged by Brock to give himself an alibi.
Hmm.
He felt pretty sure that Corbett and I were listening in. So, did that answer all your questions?
Mm-hmm.
I'll suppose you answer one of mine.
Hmm?
Where did you bury yourself so that the entire New York police force couldn't find you?
I stayed with my sister, Lenore.
Your sister, Lenore, huh?
Yes.
She looked like you.
She's much prettier.
Well, there's one thing I've learned from this case. Never to believe any testimony based on hearsay evidence.
Well, I don't know what I can do to convince you.
Oh, that's very easy, Angel. Just give me her address and let me see for myself.
Folks, let's talk about enjoyment. That's a pleasant subject, isn't it? Specifically, I'd like to say a few words about candy enjoyment, the kind you find in Kraft Dairy Fresh Caramels. Kraft caramels are tops and delicious good eating. Here's the reason why. The Kraft folks spent years developing fine caramels, making them chewy, soft, and flavorful, making them good so you'd enjoy them. And Kraft caramels have plenty of nourishing milk and other pure ingredients in them, so they're good for you, too. Next time you're at the grocery store, pick up a big pound bag of Kraft caramels. And at your candy counter, get the 6-piece bar for a nickel. Kraft caramels come in regular caramel flavor and in chocolate flavor. Both flavors are delightful. The important thing to remember is this. Whenever you want real candy enjoyment, be sure you get Kraft Dairy Fresh Caramels. The Case of the Unwelcome Wife. The Case of the Unwelcome Wife. That's the title of next week's Adventure of the Falcon. When Mike Waring learns that when a girl pretends to be married to an already married man, the results can be murder. So be sure to listen at this same time next week to another exciting Adventure of the Falcon, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company. The Adventures of the Falcon are based on the famous character created by Drexel Drake, produced by Bernard L. Schubert, written today by Eugene Wang, and directed by Richard Lewis. Music was by Arlo. Les Damon was starred as the Falcon with Ken Lynch as Sergeant Corbett. Be sure to hear the great Gildersleeve next Wednesday evening over most of these stations. In next Wednesday's broadcast, Gildy comes face to face with an hilarious problem and solves it in a way that will keep you laughing for days. Remember the show, the time, and the place. The Great Gildersleeve, next Wednesday evening, over most of these stations. Check your local newspaper for time of broadcast. This is Ed Herlihy speaking for the Kraft Foods Company.
Raymond Massey and Shirley Booth star on Theater Guild tonight on NBC.